Please turn with me to Romans chapter 16. We're going to finish this book this month. We're going to read the first 16 verses, but today in the exposition, I'm going to focus on the first two verses and deal with the rest of the passage next week. It is a very rich passage with many jewels and little pieces of gold tucked away here. So Romans 16, beginning at verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a deacon of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. This is a very timely text, seeing as we're having an election for deacons in just 1 month from today. So we need to be thinking and praying about the Lord's deacons. And you've had an adult class that Tom Fisher has been leading on deacons. I'm sorry that more of you aren't here for that class, because you need instruction so that you might vote wisely. Phoebe is the only person in the New Testament to be called a deacon. Now, I will introduce you to Phoebe using Paul's words. I will tell you about Phoebe's tasks and end with how Phoebe is an example for us today. But let me begin with a few comments about this chapter. Romans 16 is Paul's greetings and commendation to the churches. Some commentators think that this was not a part of the original letter to the Romans, because if you look at the very end of chapter 15, Paul ends chapter 15 with a benediction. And these commentators think that chapter 16 was tacked on in the manuscripts, and that this chapter actually was written and sent to Ephesus and not to Rome. After looking at all of this, I don't think the evidence is convincing. It is sure that one version of Romans, very early on in the second century, circulated without both chapters 15 and 16. But the evidence is very strong that chapter 16 belongs with the original that Paul sent out. All the ancient manuscripts include chapter 16. Now, the people, at this point, when you're reading Romans 16, it's just a bunch of names, and most of them are foreign names to you. And I'll come back and introduce you to these people next week. But just let me mention that Paul mentions 29 names in this chapter. And among these 29 are 10 women: Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Junia, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus' mother, Julia, and the sister of Nereus. That's 10 women out of 29 names. That's almost one third. So we'll look at the rest of these people, male and female, next week. But this week we're going to study Paul's introduction to Phoebe. for whom he gives the most details of any of the people that he greets. Now, he begins with introducing Phoebe as our sister. Paul commends her to the church at Rome. He is commending her to bring them together as friends in a trusting relationship. The verb that's used here means to introduce or to recommend someone to someone else. So Paul is both introducing and recommending Phoebe to the churches in Rome. And he calls her our sister. She and Apphia, you'll find Apphia in Philemon's 1:2, are the only ones in all of his writings that he introduces as sister. As Chrysostom notes, it is no small thing to be called the sister of Paul. Now, of course, Paul here means by sister that she is a believing Christian woman. But there's something more that's suggested, just as when he mentions that Apphia is his sister. We know that he had spent time with Philemon's family and he had gotten to know these people well. So when Paul calls Phoebe our sister, it's an indication that she personally knew Paul and that she had a relationship of friendship and trust with the apostle. Now, Paul goes on. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. And Phoebe, the second thing we learn about Phoebe is she is a deacon. Phoebe is further distinguished by Paul being a deacon of the church, which is in Cenchrea. Now, the term diakonos, from which we get the word deacon, is translated a number of ways in English. Back in chapter 13 and verse 4, when Paul was talking about the civil rulers, diakonos was translated minister. They are ministers. For he is God's minister to you for good. And that's the most common translation of the word diakonos in the New Testament, minister. But usually when it's translated minister, it's in a specific collocation with other words. So you have minister of Christ, for example. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, you have ministers through whom you believed. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, you have ministers of the new covenant. And I could go on and give you many, many examples. But staying with the Romans, back in chapter 15 and verse 8, Christ is called the diakonos here. And our version here translates it a servant to the circumcision. The place where diakonos is translated deacons is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and 1 Timothy 3, and here in Romans 16, verse 1. Now, in Koine Greek, the term diakonos was used for cultic attendants, male or female. It was also a term that was used for assistants or servants, although there are a number of different Greek words to describe servants. Now, here the Greek is clear. Paul uses a masculine term to refer to a woman. He calls her a diakonos. He does not call her a diakonos with a feminine ending on it. She's of the same stature as a male diakonos. Nowhere else does Paul use a masculine term to refer to a woman, neither in Romans 16 or elsewhere in his writings. And if Paul meant servant, as the New King James translates here, he could have used another word for servant and used it in the feminine. But he doesn't. He uses the masculine term diakonos. She is a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. And he further qualifies the term diakonos by that phrase, of the church which is in Cenchrea. Phoebe is the only person in the New Testament to carry a title such as this. Nowhere else do we read of a person who is a deacon of the church. And servant is certainly not a good translation of this term. A few translations get it accurately. The Vulgate in Latin, the Jerusalem Bible, and the French versions all translate accurately, diakonos. The feminine form, deaconess, did not develop in Greek until the end of the 3rd century and the beginning of the 4th century. The commentators who say that Phoebe is a deaconess are using an anachronistic term that didn't exist at the time that Paul was writing this letter. And I was among them until I did a historical study of the term and realized that deaconess wasn't created until the end of the 3rd century at the earliest. So diakonos was used for both male and female, just as in the common Greek that was spoken at the time. So Paul commends Phoebe, our sister, who is a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. Phoebe is also a benefactress. There's another term here that is often mistranslated, and it's at the end of verse 2, where we have in our New King James Version, a helper of many. The Greek doesn't use the term helper. The Greek uses a term that means a patron or a benefactor and uses it in the feminine. Paul here, you know, understands he's writing about a woman, so he uses this term in the feminine. Now, if this referred to a man, the translators would have used the term correctly. They would have said benefactor. They would have said patron. But Phoebe is a woman, so she has to be a helper. This is wrong. It's a translation bias. And recent archaeological work has dug up inscriptions, Roman inscriptions, where women are honored for being benefactresses of a town, for example. The English Standard Version gets it right. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. That's exactly what the Greek says. You know, we look back on Roman society with some strange ideas at times. Roman women were involved in business. There is indication that Roman women owned factories, and Roman women even held political office. Phoebe is a benefactress. She is a patrona in Latin. She is a wealthy woman. How has she helped? The way a benefactress could. And a benefactress could do two things. She could provide monetary support, and she could provide networking through her influence. And Paul has been a recipient of her work as a benefactress. Perhaps he received some monetary help from her, but undoubtedly he would have received help through the networking that Phoebe would have helped him with when he first arrived in the area of Corinth. So here is Phoebe, a spiritual sister of the apostle, a deacon of the church, a benefactress who has provided for many and for Paul himself. Phoebe is no ordinary woman, and this is why she is listed first. And this is why the apostle uses his authority to make sure that the church at Rome receives her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Can you think of anyone else in all of Paul's letters whom Paul commends in this way? So here is who Phoebe is. Now, what is Phoebe doing? She's coming to Rome on a mission for her church. We don't know what business she had for her church, but Paul would not have urged the Roman churches to help her in her personal business except to provide hospitality. Inns in Roman times were brothels, so Phoebe would not have stayed at an inn. She had church business to do. After all, she is a deacon of the church coming to Rome. And Paul is saying to the Roman churches, open up your hearts, open up your houses to this woman and help her in her business. Now, one of the things that has been discussed in the adult classes about deacons is that the New Testament does not give us a description of the tasks of a deacon. The New Testament does specify the work of the elders, but it does not do so for the deacons. However, the verb diakoneo which is related to the noun diakonos, is given a very particular definition by Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, if you read verses 42 to 44, which I will read to you now. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? The verb there is diakoneo. So this passage, as you can see, includes giving food and drink, extending shelter, providing clothes, visiting the sick, visiting prisoners, and it ends with this verb. This is exactly what Paul was doing in Romans chapter 15, verse 25, when he says, But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. The verb there is diakoneo. Now, these are the things that we, the church, has understood over time that deacons are to do by the example of Christ, who redefines what service is. In Greek culture, to be a servant was to be the lowest of the low. And we've seen how Jesus takes and says that if you want to be first in the kingdom, you have to be a servant. And he takes the verb for serving and the noun for servant, and he exalts them in his kingdom. And here in the Matthew 25 passage, we have a very good idea of what this kind of service is to be in the church. And these are the very things that deacons and women deacons did in Geneva under the guidance of Calvin and Farrell. They set up a hospital. They set up an orphanage. They set up a retirement home for the aged. They funded this through the civil government, but the deacons, male and female, oversaw the whole thing and were accountable to the church, to the consistory, for their work. So Phoebe here comes to the capital of the empire with a mission for her church. She's also delivering Paul's letter to the church. Most commentators are in agreement that Phoebe was the one delivering Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Why? Well, first of all, because he commends her. But second of all, because Paul is writing to the Romans from Corinth. And Cenchrea is a small town just to the south and east of Corinth. Corinth was between two ports, one that faced west toward Europe and one that faced east toward Asia, what is now Turkey. Cenchrea was the port that faced east, which is another hint that Phoebe might have been a businesswoman engaged in the trade with Asia. So Paul used her planned church and perhaps personal travel to Rome to make sure his letter got to the churches at Rome. Phoebe may have also been on a business trip. Because she was a benefactress, she was undoubtedly a wealthy woman and most probably a businesswoman, like Lydia, or like the woman in Proverbs 31. She probably had a business to run, and coming to the capital of the empire might mean that she was pursuing a business opportunity, in addition to her work for the church. We do not know more than this, but existing inscriptions and letters from the period render this very possible. Now, finally, how is Phoebe an example to us? First, Phoebe is an example that women can do more in church ministry than many conservative churches allow. Churches often take the prohibition against women elders to be a prohibition against women in ministry of any kind in the church. This is wrong. This denies using the gifts that Christ has given to the church. The Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America has ordained women deacons since the late 19th century, and I believe that the church is fully biblical in this practice. The Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America Synod elects women to participate in the Global Missions Board. Carol is a member of that board. The Home Mission Board, the Publication Board, the Trustees of Synod. This is a very appropriate use of women's gifts in the church. It is good to have a woman's perspective in some of these ministries, and some of our women are accountants, educators, writers with particular gifts that are very useful on these boards. I believe that the women in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, through the Women's Association, have done more valuable diaconal work than all the congregations put together. These women run the Home for Aged People in Pittsburgh. This home has served several generations of needy and sometimes poor old people, especially pastors and missionaries who retire with very small pensions. These women in our church also run a daycare center for the needy in Pittsburgh. In the past, we've had a number of women missionaries out in the field, and we still do in Sudan, and we still do in home missions. After all, the wives of church planting pastors are their partners and become deeply involved in their work. So Phoebe serves as an example for us that we should have women deacons. The early Greek commentators who spoke this language and preached in this language and communicated even love letters in this language all understood that Phoebe was a deacon. I'll give you a few examples. Origen, who lived from 185 to around 254. This passage teaches that there were women ordained in the church's ministry by the apostles' authority. Chrysostom, who worked in the late 3rd century. Moreover, he has mentioned her rank of deaconess as well. By Chrysostom's day, the word deaconess had been created, and there was an ordination service for deaconesses in the church. Constantius, who flourished around the beginning of the 5th century. Here the apostle demonstrates that no discrimination or preference between male and female is to be tolerated, because he sends his letter to Rome by the hand of a woman and sends greetings to other women in the same epistle. And Theodoretus Sir, who prospered at the very beginning of the 5th century, the church at Cenchreae was so large that it even had a woman deacon, and one who was famous and well known to boot. And Calvin, much later on, writes, he begins by commending Phoebe, the bearer of the epistle, first on account of her office, because she exercised a very honorable and holy ministry in the church. She is a ministra of the church at Cenchreae. He uses the Latin term here. So Phoebe serves as an example for us. Phoebe is an example of what a benefactress can do also. The church has always needed people of means. That's why Paul tells Timothy to commend rich people in 1 Timothy 6. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And we see from the apostolic age that such women were involved in the church. At the crucifixion of Christ, we read in Matthew 27:55, and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, using the verb diakoneo here, were there looking on from afar. Think of Lydia, who opened her home to the apostle and to the Philippian church. In a wealthy society, the church should have great means to minister to the poor and the needy and to extend the kingdom of Christ. But it takes generous, wealthy people like Phoebe, the patroness. Finally, Phoebe is the only person in the New Testament to be called a deacon of the church. We traditionally identify the men in Acts 6 as deacons, but they're not called deacons there. And indeed, they went on to preach the word and to do wonders and signs. Phoebe, together with the women of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, it's not wives, it's women, teach us that it is Christ's will that we have women deacons in the church. These women in 1 Timothy 3:11 are identified the same way as deacons. In 3:8, Paul writes, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money." And in 3:11, he writes, "Likewise, women must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." Now, if you're interested, you can read my exegesis of this passage in a paper that I'm making available to you. There are a few paper copies on the back table, and there's a PDF available online. If you have questions about this, read the paper and then come to me with your questions. So here's the message. We must not put restrictions on the ministry of our sisters that Christ has not put on them. If we do this, we suppress gifts, and we do not function as a church in the way that Christ ordained it. The only limitation on a woman's ministry in the church is that she cannot be an elder. Apart from that, a woman can serve according to her gifts. Phoebe is a prime example of someone important in the church, a willing benefactress, and a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. If Paul worked closely with her and commended her to the church at Rome, who are we to stand in the way of women deacons? Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we pray for wisdom and help as we prepare to elect deacons in this congregation. We give you thanks for the guidance that you give us in your word, and help us to be faithful to your word in our generation, to study it closely and carefully, and to do what it says. Lord, we pray that you will raise up the gifted individuals that we need in this congregation to help Kevin, our only remaining deacon, and that you will bless and prosper the diaconal ministry, that you will raise up benefactors for this congregation to help close the gap in the budget and to help provide for the care for the various ministries that the deacons may lead us into. And we give you thanks, O God, that you have blessed us so richly and so wonderfully. We give you praise through Jesus Christ, who is the chief deacon of the church and the one who has come to serve us in so many ways, not only washing our feet, but even washing our hearts, washing our consciences, and washing our souls. To him we give praise. Amen.